Today's reading is from Luke. When Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I thought to start off this morning, we would play a quick game of Name That Tune. Are you guys ready? Do you remember Name That Tune? Are you guys awake? Okay, good. That's important to be able to play the game. All right, so here is the first tune, and you just shout it out. It's okay. Just shout it out if you recognize it. You ready? Da 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 da. Anybody? You're supposed to shout it out. Let's try again. Da 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 da. Thank you for shouting. All right, Johnny Carson. Very good. All right. Now then, here is the next one. Hey, 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 hey. Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, all right? So you have two Tonight Shows, one, da da da, and the other one is hey, hey, hey. So when Johnny Carson used to come out of the curtain, you heard da 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 da, right? Now when Jimmy Fallon comes out of the curtain, you hear hey, 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 hey. It's a little bit different. Are you guys sure you're awake? All right, the reason this is important is because I am a huge Jimmy Fallon fan, really big Jimmy Fallon fan. And when he was here for the Super Bowl, I kind of stalked him a little bit. Not as much as my friend Jessica, who eventually got her picture taken with him, but I did stalk him a little bit. And when he got the Tonight Show, it became a dream of mine and Jessica's to be able to see him live in New York City. But this process is not really easy. You have to know when they're releasing tickets. You have to be in front of your computer at the exact moment and then keep your fingers crossed that your screen will pop up and it will say, "Congratulations, you're in queue." And Jessica and I tried this month after month after month, and we never got lucky. And then in June, which happened to be the same month as my birthday, where all magical things happen, I got the tickets. Now, I had a little bit of an out-of-body experience when I recognized that finally the screen had said I was in queue. And my friend Jessica recorded it so I would become famous on YouTube. And she did not win an Emmy for videography, but I'm going to show it to you anyway. Wait a minute, Don. Just so you know, it was an out-of-body experience, and I cannot be held accountable for anything that you're about to see now, Don.
Seriously. Oh, I'm so excited!
I'm still reading the directions.
General, four!
I won four tickets.
Green total!
I realize I don't have a printer. I can't print the tickets.
No,
it's okay.
We got it! Yes! Yay! Hey, 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 hey!
Hey, 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 hey!
Hey, 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 hey!
Hey, 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 hey!
Cabbage Patch, here we go. Cabbage Patch. And I'm done. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Have a good week, everybody. Thank you. Okay, so I need to take it a step further and let you know that the dream continues. Of course, Jimmy, I know you're watching. He sees the clip, and then when I go to see the show on August 11th, he invites me to come down and talk to him in his chair, and we really hit it off, and I become his new sidekick. That's the dream. So last week, Rob preached about dreams, and I feel certain this was not the kind of dreams he was encouraging us to dream about, but it was my dream nonetheless. He can't take it away from me. I'm going to keep it. So, but I did get to thinking about that dream and this response that I had when the dream came true for me. And what made me think about it was, isn't this interesting that this is the kind of dream that I have as a middle class educated woman who has time and resources on my side, and so I can go and do these kind of things. And then I got to thinking about a lot of the families who will be coming here today for the back to school extravaganza, and how perhaps their kind of dreams are not the same as mine. And also I got to thinking, you know, maybe the kind of reaction you saw on the screen would be the kind of reaction that the families who are coming here today for the back to school extravaganza would have if they got a job that would place them above the poverty line. Or maybe the kind of reaction you saw me have would be the same kind of reaction they might have if they found out they were able to move to a house where all of their children would have their own beds, or even more, all of their children would have their own rooms. And maybe the kind of reaction you saw me have would be the same kind of reaction they would have if their life changed from having to call their social services office every week, and instead they got to call their investment broker every week. When the church is at its best, it's working to reflect the light of Christ to the world and extend hope as a way to open up possibilities for other people to dream. For families who live in generational poverty, this means they have been in poverty for two generations of their family. It's really hard to imagine a different way of life. People who live in generational poverty spend the majority of their time in survival mode. So it's more natural to have an attitude of who cares when you invite people in generational poverty to dream than to really see them take flight and think about what they could possibly do. And here is where the church can step in. Because when people say, who cares, the job of the church is to respond and to say, we do. We care. One of the best ways to show that we care is to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. And one way that you can do that is to take part in a poverty simulation. A poverty simulation has you take on a role of someone who lives under the poverty line in the United States. Through my own ministry, I have had a chance to work in inner city poverty, rural poverty, and third world poverty. And I thought I had a pretty good idea what families go through day to day. And then I participated in a poverty simulation. And one of the components I think they should add to the simulation is they should take your blood pressure before it starts, and then halfway through stop and take your blood pressure again. And I guarantee the blood pressure will go up. My role, or the persona I took on was a single mom with a very young baby who had asthma and had to go to the doctor regularly. I did have a boyfriend who had a job, but he was also on probation. We had one car, so we were limited on transportation. We had way more costs than we did income, and I was forced to make really hard decisions that made it really difficult for me to keep my anxiety level down. And this was all just for play. It was just a simulation. And it made me realize that other people go through difficulties each and every day. And it was just an incredible eye-opening experience. I encourage all of you to sign up. We're going to have one here at St. Luke's in the Great Hall on September 13th after church. On that day, you can sign up today in the West Passage or online. Throughout the simulation, I had zero time to even think about dreaming. The only time I had was to figure out what I was going to do to be able to survive. I truly felt the pressure crushing my shoulders and leaving me with a feeling of oppression. Living in a state of emergency every day sucks the joy out of you quickly. A lack of joy leads to a life of sorrow and eventually leads you to living under a veil of oppression. As we read in our scripture today, Jesus's mission is to free prisoners, offer sight to the blind, and give life to the oppressed. His mission was for people to experience an everlasting love and joy that would lead to them having a life of peace. His work as Savior was not to live high up on a throne, but he lived and worked with people, creating transformation and restoring lives. Phil Duval said, "People in poverty might need to change, but no more than anyone else in society. When we make a commitment to work with families in our community instead of doing for them, we are transformed in the process as well." These two prepositions really do matter. It's with versus for. When you follow a philosophy focused on with, you engage in relationships. When you follow a philosophy based on for, you distance yourself from what you're actually trying to do to help people, and in the process, you miss out on the communal aspect of service, which leads to transformation. A Yale University study on poverty reported that individuals stay in poverty because they do not see choice, or if they do, they do not know how to access proper resources or people to get them to the point of actually choosing. So here's the next step for St. Luke's Outreach Ministries. We want to work with people to help them discover what choices they do have for their future. We also want to help open the necessary doors that will give people possibilities to dream. This fall, we are going to start a 16-week educational experience called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. I will facilitate the 16-week experience with adults we know and have built relationships with through Fox Hill Elementary, the Crooked Creek Food Pantry, and Creekwood Apartments. All of these adults are living underneath the poverty line. In Getting Ahead, people in poverty are looked at as problem solvers, and so they are called investigators. Investigators choose the changes they want to make. They figure out what they need to do in order to connect the dots, and they are in charge of their own learning. This is very different than if it was a class, and perhaps me as the teacher prepared their path for them, or told them what direction they needed to go in, or connected the dots for them. At the end of the 16 weeks, investigators will graduate armed with goals on how to get ahead. Then they will meet their family advocates, that's where you all come in, who with them will help them achieve their goals. It may mean that you know someone in a field that they're interested in working, and you introduce them and help them be able to get an interview for a job. It may mean that you coach them on how to do well on that interview. It may mean that you babysit their kids while they go to the interview or give them a ride so they can get to the interview on time without being worried about having to take a bus. Family advocates have the opportunity to walk with families as they live into the realization that they do have the power to choose. When we engage with our neighbors instead of working for our neighbors, we eliminate the danger of creating an attitude of superiority or pity. And so I'm excited to be able to introduce to you now Chris and Natalie Wallace. They're going to come on forward. They have spent the last year living and working in Fondois, Haiti, which is the same community that Dave and I lived in 12 years ago. Like Dave and I, they thought it would be a really great idea to get married and then honeymoon on a Caribbean island, which happened to be Haiti, for a year. And so we are very glad to welcome them home. Natalie was Natalie Harris before she was Natalie Wallace, and so you know Sue and Steve Harris, and has been a longtime member of St. Luke's, and then we adopted Chris in, so that's nice. And they're going to share a little bit about what it was like for you guys when you lived in Fondois and you chose to work with people instead of going down to this country and just doing things how you thought it should be done.
Yeah. I think some of our best experiences there were when we got to work with them. And for anyone who's ever been to Fondois, there's a group of sisters there that we live with, and they really take care of us. And it was awesome kind of getting to find their dreams. And the Mother Superior in specific, Sister Claudette, had a lot of really big dreams this year. And her dreams are of being self-sufficient. And one way that she's working on that right now is through a professional school. And it was really awesome to have her come to us and work with her on that and see St. Luke's get involved through a really awesome women's group that's here and work with them through that. And there's actually a really awesome video of Sister Claudette finding out some of her dream was coming true that you'll have to check out that your husband has. And
of course he does.
She had a really awesome reaction. And those are the best experiences when they've got the ideas and you can kind of partner with them, but they know what they want to do, and they're dreaming big there, too.
Well, we are very thankful for all the work that you did in Fondois, Haiti. They just got back about 10 days ago after living down there for a year, and one of the things that you may not have known was that we wanted to make sure that we had a nice gift for you when you return. They're going to be moving to Washington, D.C. in a couple weeks, and so this is a gift from your church family as an opportunity to help you get a step forward and continue your dreams and continue working with people in all that they're doing. So will you join me in celebrating their return and their ministry? Closer to home, we have had a wonderful experience of working with Habitat for Humanity. Habitat for Humanity really gets this idea of working with people and has done an amazing job of empowering homeowners to add sweat equity to the home building process. We will begin another home in September, on September 11th in Westfield, for a mother of twin daughters named Sarah Tate. And here's a little bit of Sarah's story.
My name is Sarah Tate, and I'm 25 years old. I have two twin daughters, Autumn and Summer Barnt. Summer was born with microcephaly, which is where the brain and the head are smaller than normal. And she was also born with clubbed feet. Autumn was born with double outlet right ventricle, which is where the arteries to the heart are on the right side. And she had a VSD, which is a hole in the center of the heart. I ended up being diagnosed with peripartum cardiomyopathy, which is a form of CHF, congenital heart failure. While my girls were in the NICU, I was in the hospital and the ICU as well. Being a partner family with Habitat starts the process of getting the house. I have to do, I think it's 300 hours of sweat equity, community service, and classes. So it's a lot of hard work. It's not just handed over to me. Whatever I put into this will help another family somewhere else in the world. I'd like to say to the people volunteering to help build my house that thank you, because this is a really great opportunity. I didn't think that I would be able to do this without or by myself. So this is a great opportunity. I don't have to worry about having to move places and anything like that, I'll have a home.
Imagine if Sarah had just been handed keys to a new home. I'm not sure she would have completely understood the kind of gift she was getting if she hadn't had an opportunity to work with people, to be able to experience the blessing of knowing that there's a community behind her rooting for her. In the process of her doing her own 300 hours of what they call sweat equity, she is giving other families an opportunity also to make their dreams come true. Sarah said she feels like this is a really great opportunity, and I would say this is a really great opportunity for St. Luke's as well. It's a chance for us to be able to do ministry with her and with her family, to be able to give her hope and to be able to give her an opportunity to truly be able to dream about what tomorrow will bring when she has security of her own home. So there'll be opportunities for you to be able to sign up. You can take a red envelope today if you would like to be able to give towards the project as well. But think about this opportunity to be with people. And that when you serve, it isn't about just doing something for someone, but it's about giving people an opportunity to know you and for you to get to know them. Irma Bombeck said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me." Everyone should have the opportunity to feel that at the end of their life, they emptied themselves completely. It shouldn't matter what tax bracket you're in or what social status you come from. Everyone should get the opportunity to be able to realize what unique gifts God has given them and then be able to turn and return those gifts to the world. The church is called to work with all people to help eliminate the barriers in their life that keep them from discovering those unique gifts. Once someone has been freed to discover their gifts, once the oppression has been lifted from their shoulders, once their eyes have been cleared and they are no longer blind, once someone can truly see the path before them, they will be open to the possibilities to live and to dream and then to be able to use every single thing that God has given them. And what a blessing we have received to be able to be part of that journey with people. Today, 1,000 kids will come through our doors and fill their backpacks, and they will begin school tomorrow ready to go. And they will have a renewed confidence to know that when they walk through that door, there's nothing that they will be lacking to give them the success that they need to be able to have an education and an incredibly bright future in front of them. And all of this is our resounding response, an enormous yes of saying to our neighbors and to our community, yes, we do care. Let us pray. God, we are thankful that, Lord, we are given the blessing of being your hands and your feet, that, God, you have given us the gift of love, and in that gift that we are called to pour out your love on this community and on our world. And so we pray, God, that you would continue to guide us to seek ways to serve with people, that, Lord, in the serving, we would be transformed by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.